The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
All right, Terry, another Wednesday night. That means time for the ASA Fast Lane. Terry Wall, Jack Smith, and Birmingham's already in the books, man. The first time this year. They go back again later in the year, Terry. Man, this year is just long here.
Yeah, you know, the old thing is that the older you get, faster time flies.
Yeah, buddy.
I bet that's part of our problem.
Well, tonight, I tell you, we're going to do some... interesting things, I hope. We're going to talk to Brian Bloom here, who's one of the driver of the number three late model in the Southern Division. And then we're going to talk to Big Al Steyer, who's his crew chief, who Al is sure to be entertaining, no doubt. He always is. Then we're going to switch gears a little bit and do something most people don't do. We're going to talk to the ASA photographer, Chuck Gonzalez, and the reason for that is because we really feel, and we've done this with a lot of other photographers around the country, we really feel that the flagman, Terry, and the track photographer, or the series photographer in this case, have a perspective unique to themselves that nobody else has.
I agree. And some of them photographers put themselves in a pretty precarious position sometimes in trying to get that best shot.
Go.
Yeah. And, you know, they put them, like I said, they put themselves in a precarious position to get that money shot. And also, we're going to have on the ASA Fast Lane tonight, Mike Abney. He's from PowerMaster, one of our new sponsors for the ASA Fast Lane. And we're going to get a little inside information from Mike on what's hot and what's not as far as
Alter what?
So we're going to see what Mike's got to say for a little bit. And I'm really looking forward to tonight's show, Jack. I think it's going to be one of our best shows.
Yeah, I tell you, we're going to take a quick break here and... we are having some electrical storms here in Florida where our studio is, and we've had some, we may have some interesting little things pop up from here and there, but we'll just take it as it comes, and we'll take a break right now. We're going to come back with Brian Bloom.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
CarNight.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNight.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNight.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNight gets it done.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847. 478-8847.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com. All right, Terry, we're back ready to rock and roll here. And we have Brian Bloom, driver of the number 3 ASA late model in the Southern Division, with us on the line. Welcome to the ASA Fast Lane, Brian.
Thank you, Jack.
You had a pretty good run there out of Birmingham. You qualified 10th, I believe, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Tell us about your adventure out there.
Friday night, we had an offloaded car, and we were real quick. And going into Saturday, we weren't able to make the practice, but qualified 10th. The car felt great, and started making our way up through the pack in the race, and left sixth and ran out of fuel. And
did you try and make the whole 125 laps on one tank of fuel?
Yes, sir. We
Wow.
Yeah. You sound a little sheepishly when you say that. Like it was a mistake. Well, obviously it was a mistake. You ran out of fuel. But did you have it figured that you would have enough fuel, Brian?
We thought we were going to be able to make it all the way. Friday night we had ran 130, 140 laps and on a full tank, so we figured we'd be able to make it, but I guess not.
I wonder if the heat of the day made a difference.
Yeah, it might have. Then again, we were running a lot faster lap times Saturday than we were Friday, so I could have something to do with it.
Well, I guess you're going to refigure that one next time, huh?
That's amazing. How did that work? I mean, how did you guys come to that conclusion that you'd be able to make it? And did other teams do that as well, or?
Other teams I know I talked to had an 18-gallon fuel cell like we did, and most of them didn't make it the whole race and had to pit like we did with 10 or so laps left.
Wow! And now, where were you running when you had to pit?
We were up to 6th.
Wow, and then you ended up, what, 13th or something?
11th.
11th?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, that wasn't too bad.
Well, we're going to be talking to your crew chief, Big Al Steyer, here in just a little bit. And he's in the chiropractor's office right now. He said that he had to go to the chiropractor today because you wore him out.
you don't want to wear out, Big Al.
How did you hook up with him?
Well, last year I raced in the fast truck division, and my teammate Joey Coulter, who now races in Hooters Pro Cup, his crew chief was Tommy Steyer, which is Alan's son, and towards the end of last year we decided that we wanted to move to the ASA division, and obviously we needed a crew chief. And so Alan came on board and basically helped us out since the beginning of the season.
Right. Now, Brian, you said you did race in the what's called the Fast Truck Series, which is a Florida truck series that tours around all the tracks in Florida, or many of the tracks. And tell us a little bit about your background. Did you race with them for several years, or and just give us a thumbnail of your background in racing?
Okay. Well, at the age of 7, I started go-karting, did that for 7 or so years, local, regional, and the national, and then we went into the fast truck division, and we raced there for 2 years. We raced some in Georgia, actually, and my rookie year finished 2nd in points, and did the same thing the next year.
Wow. So, now, are you racing nowadays? Like, did you race with Campy? You raced with a bunch of these guys, right? Anthony Campy and various other guys that are racing now in the ASA. You raced with them in carts and also in the trucks, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Which ones of them stand out, the guys that you've competed against a lot?
Not so much that I competed against, but I know Sean Bass. He was in the adult division, and I was in the kid division for the whole 2 years, and it was mainly, you know, me and him, you know, towards the front of the pack most of the time and, you know, leading the points. So that's who I'd say. Anthony Campy, I know his first year in trucks, he finished ahead of me in points, and he was pretty good.
Yeah, you guys battled a lot. Now, from what I understand, you had a little bit of an adventure going to the ASA race over at New Smyrna last month. Tell us about that.
Well, first off, I have to thank Alan on that. I had never been to that place, and you know, just as a newcomer to New Smyrna, and the car was pretty decent, you know, and felt like we had a good shot going into qualifying, and yet again we had qualified 10th, and just made our way up through the field. You know, the car was working a little bit better than the other people were, and moving the line around and avoiding most of the wrecks, and got us third place finish.
Oh, that's cool. Did you run out of gas or something, or have some kind of? Were you the guy who had the problem getting to the track?
Yes, my my dad's truck had broken down, and we didn't get to the track till 1 o'clock. So we only had about 10, maybe 15 laps of practice. So, you know, we had gone to New Smyrna with basically no practice going into qualifying, and still managed to pull out a 10th place. Qualifying run.
And then you finished third in the race.
Yes, sir.
Terry, what do you think of that, man? This young man has never been to New Smyrna, which is one of the toughest tracks in the South, and gets there late, doesn't have a whole bunch of practice time or anything, and goes out and does that. That's something, huh?
Well, I've had my trials and tribulations getting to the track, blown out tires on the trailer, blown out tires on the truck, you know, and you almost lose your whole focus. I mean, that sort of is on your mind just getting to the track. And for Brian to have that problem getting to New Smyrna and finish that way is great.
That's cool.
You had to be focused, Brian, to be able to do what you did.
And now you, where are you guys going from here? Are you going to run at Bristol, or are you just going to go over to Orange County for that race?
Right now, we plan on running a couple more of the Southern Division races. So far, you know, our funds will carry us all the way up until South Georgia, and then we'll have to see where we go from there. But we're definitely going to run Orange County.
Yeah. Okay. So that'll be your next stop is Orange County.
Correct.
Which is, if I'm not mistaken, that's August 11th, I believe.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you there. Now, so you're basically privately funded? I mean, you personally fund your parents and yourself fund your operation?
Yeah, basically. You know, I have a multiple part-time jobs, and you know, my parents are working all the hours, and you know, we have some sponsorship that you know, helps the racing going, and looking for some major ones.
Who's helping you out now?
Right now we have Colton Motorsports, Napa, and Extreme Graphics, and obviously Checkered Flag Racing with Alan Starr.
Yeah.
Are you mostly parts and labor type sponsors, or you're probably looking for a good cash sponsor, aren't you, Brian?
Yeah. Right now it's you know, parts here and there, just to get the car to the track.
Yeah.
I noticed you're 17th in points, but you're only about 16 points. 17 points out of the top 10.
Right.
So you're right there. You're on the verge of actually breaking into the top 10 with a couple good runs.
Yeah, it's not really good that we had run out of fuel, but I was actually 10th in points after New Smyrna, but Alabama race hurt us.
Well, you know, Brian, every bad race you have, you're going to have a really good one next time.
There you go. There you go. So how is it, what's it been like making the shift from driving trucks, racing in these late models. I mean, the motors are a lot different. How's it been different for you?
Well, number one would be the power, and the other thing, you know, being manual and everything, and going from straight from the trucks into the ASA series has been a big jump. I mean, we had no prior seat time, you know, before Bronson. It was just, you know, basically, you know, put me in the car and, you know, see what we can do. And basically the ASA series has, you know, elevated my driver experience and skill just with these past four races.
Yeah, so these cars are faster for you than the trucks were, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so they're a lot faster?
Yeah.
Okay, now this is another interesting point, Terry. Mm-hmm. These, in Brian's case, he's gone from the trucks to the late models. You got a bunch of these other guys, like Jeff Choquette's the one that stands out in my mind, who has been racing super late models, and he's going to these cars, which are a lot slower.
In Brian's case, going from the truck to the car, which is a lot faster.
Exactly.
And yet
Brian, you did pretty good pulling off a third place, and obviously, I mean, to qualify 10th at Birmingham, you hadn't been there before, had you?
No, never.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, I think you're holding your own pretty good, young man.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, we need to get him some help there, Jack. I bet he could go faster.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, that's one of the things we always say, Brian. It's like, you know, some of the times the toughest race that you run is the run for the race for sponsorship dollars. It's sometimes more difficult than actually accomplishing good things out on the track. And it's one that, you just have to keep working at, and I'm sure you guys are working hard at it, and, you just have to keep persevering, I guess, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're always looking for strong runs, and, the day we got back from Alabama, we started working on the car, you know, getting ready, because, we got to want to run up front and stay there, get up top 10 in points.
Yeah, and now do you have a website, Brian?
Yes, I do. It's currently under construction, but...
Okay.
BloomRacing.net.
BloomRacing, BLUM, racing.net.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Is anybody else you want to acknowledge, Brian, for helping you out with the car?
Basically, just my parents, Colton Motorsports, Napa Dr. Pepper, Stream Graphics, and Checkered Flag Racing.
All right, man.
All right. Well, hopefully in the future you'll have some more sponsors to stay.
Hey, keep at it, Brian, and we will see you up in, we couldn't make it to Birmingham, but we will definitely see you in Orange County. Can't wait.
All right, thank you, sir, for having me.
All right, Brian.
All right, thank you, man.
Look forward to meeting you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, pretty cool, Terry.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, too, you know, there's another guy who, there was a young man, Bo Slocum, who recently, he won his second race there at Birmingham. He won up at the Watermelon Capital Speedway, and we had him on our show last night on the Real Racing USA live show. Huh. And we spent just a few minutes with him. He has a big event that they're doing. They're actually probably getting ready for right this minute up in Macon, Georgia, with Ryan Newman. Ryan Newman is apparently a friend of Bo's, and all of a sudden he's got all kinds of help. And when he won up at Watermelon Capital, he had nothing behind him except his drive and his initiative and a few friends.
Right.
And he's won two races now, and guess what? He's got a pretty good ride, and he's got some sponsors, and they're up there with Ryan Newman tonight raising money for that. And we're going to play that interview from last night's Real Racing USA show right now. And then as soon as that's over, we're going to go to commercials, and then we will be back with hopefully Big Al Steyer.
All right.
All right. Cool.
We are back here at Real Racing USA, and on the line with us right now, the winner of the last ASA South race, we've got Bo Slocum. Bo, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. After last couple of races we've had, we're doing real good.
I mean, the last time we talked to you, Bo, was right after the win up in Georgia. You had just got the car together and won that race.
Yeah, we got it together last minute, ended up going down there winning the race. Luckily, it was at my home track, so we didn't have to do a whole lot of testing or practicing. And then we ran another race about a month later down at New Smyrna, and had a good car, didn't qualify real good, came up through the field, got to fourth place, and me and Jason Boyd got tangled up, and I ended up spinning him. They sent me to the rear, and we came back to seventh. And then this past weekend, went over to Birmingham and ended up qualifying fifth and ended up winning the race. So it's been two out of three races been pretty good for us.
Well, you know, I mean, a seventh-place finish isn't that bad at that race at New Smyrna. I was up there for that one, and, I mean, that was a crazy race.
It was real wild. I know the boy, we figured we could run about third, maybe second, because Brandon Johnson, the boy that won, he was checked out, and we didn't figure we had anything for him. We figured we could run second or third in that race, but ended up seventh, getting in some trouble, and that's the way it goes sometimes.
That happens like that. Now, like I said, when we talked to you last, you'd just gotten the car together. Basically, you know, we're wondering how you were going to go race from race. And all that's turned around for you, hasn't it?
It turned around big time. After we won that race, I was on vacation and got a phone call from Tony Townley, who owns Zaxby's and Brothers Racing Team. He asked me if I'd like to come drive for them. He'd take me racing. And I said, absolutely. He just told me to give him a call whenever we got back from vacation. We work out all the details, and we actually signed the contract at the racetrack in New Smyrna that Saturday afternoon before the race, and been racing out of their shop ever since. Ended up working out great for us.
I mean, you can't get a better deal than that. And then you got something exciting coming up. What, tomorrow night?
It's tomorrow night. Yes, after we won in Cordell. A guy by the name of Chuck Thompson there in Macon, works for State Farm Insurance, goes to our church, got real excited and got behind me trying to do a bunch of PR work for me and stuff, and said we need to have some kind of a benefit banquet or promotional dinner to try and get a bunch of basically the big dogs in Macon get behind me and let them know what's going on, what we're trying to do, get them to help me out, get me to the next level, get me through this year racing and everything. We talked to some people at Bass Pro Shops that we know, and they said, you know, y'all figured it all out. Y'all have it here in our Tracker Boat Center. We'll move all the boats out. You can bring your race car in, do everything you want to do. Well, it just so happened that I'm real good friends with Ryan Newman. And they said, if you can get Ryan Newman there, we think we can get over 1,000 people here. No telling, you know, what we can get. So I got in touch with Ryan. Took me a little while to get in touch with him, but I got in touch with him, and he said, anything I can do to help you, because he understood what our financial situation was. He said, anything I can do to help you to further your racing career, you just let me know.
Now, what
got it all figured out. I called him back and told him when the date was and what we were going to do.
What do you think of that, Wayne?
Yeah, I think that's pretty awesome. You know, that's what everybody's looking for.
Yeah, but we got sitting with us right now a super late model driver down here in Florida, called the Rocket Man, Wayne Jefferson, and he's sitting here listening in on your story. And now you've gone from pretty much, you know, you were anonymous when you were headed to Georgia, didn't know what it looked like. What's life like now for Bo Slocum?
Same. I go to work every day. I still work for Rusty Clanton every day through the end of the summer, and starting in August, I'm going to start to work over there in Fayetteville with Brothers Racing Team over there at the Zaxby shop, and we're just carrying on like we did, trying to do the same thing we've been doing.
So, but isn't there more, like, media people trying to get a hold of you, and your name's out there more?
Yeah, I mean, we've been promoting this thing pretty big on the radio. Me and Ryan was on the radio this morning trying to pump me up to the public. You know, I mean, I've talked to some, had a bunch of newspapers call me and stuff. I mean, it's changing. I hope it's changing. I mean, it's changing, but I just hope it keeps on changing for the best.
Well, you get Ryan Newman coming to your party. It's definitely changed, man.
Yeah, it's changed. It has changed.
That's cool.
Right, the bottom line is you just keep wheeling that unit like you've been doing there and getting them wins on the board like that and doing that in front of the right people, and it's all going to go the way you want it.
I sure hope so. I mean, I must have done something right. I mean, I guess if I wasn't doing anything or I wasn't winning races or performing like we should, then, I mean, Ryan probably wouldn't agree to do anything or, you know, but I guess we got his attention, so he's behind me trying to help them get me to the next level.
But are you surprised at the attention the ASA series is getting?
No, I mean, it's always been, you know, a well-known series. I mean, you know, big names, Rusty Wallace, Mark Martin, a bunch of big names have come from there.
But, yeah, I mean it kind of faded out a little bit there. People were unsure of it. This year it's just taken off like a bang.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just all worked out great for us. I mean, we're performing at our best that we ever have right now in this, you know, nationally known series. So hopefully we'll get the recognition that we need to get to the next level.
Are you going to make any of the challenge races?
We're going to run a challenge race this weekend at Motor Mile Speedway.
What about Bristol? Virginia. Looking at Bristol?
I wanted to do Bristol, but Joey Clanton was unsure if we should, so we kind of we had it on the schedule and we scratched it out. Just didn't want to tear up two race cars. Figured that if we did tear them up, that they wouldn't just be fenders knocked off or spindles or anything like that. It'd be a demolished race car, so we actually scratched that race off.
So your next race will be Orange County Speedway in North Carolina.
We're going to run Motor Mile.
Oh, I got you.
ASA Challenge race, and then the next race will be Orange County.
I got you. Okay. Cool.
All right,
man. Thanks for spending some time with us, and you have fun tomorrow. Go raise some money.
No, we're going to try. I appreciate it. We'll hope to talk to you next week.
Yeah.
We're lucky.
Well, you can guarantee every time that Bo Slocum wins, he'll be on Real Racing USA.
Got that right.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Bo.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries, XX Power batteries for racing applications, and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
All right, Terry, we're back, and that was a pretty interesting interview there with Bo Slocum last night. I mean, that's his second win, and it's resulted in some good sponsorship dollars for him, and good for him. And right now with us on the phone, as promised, we have Big Al Steyer, the crew chief for Brian Bloom, who we just spoke to. And welcome to ASA Fastlane, Big Al.
Well, thank you very much, and glad to be here.
Yeah, we.
Well, how did the chiropractor go, Big Al, since Brian wore you out?
It's doing fine right now. we got electronic stimulation going to my brain right now. What can I tell you?
Really? Is that going to help your crew chief any better?
Yeah, we need all the help we can get.
Yeah, I tell you, we have some pretty severe thunderstorms in our area right at the moment, and it's caused a little havoc with getting this all together, and we got knocked off the air once already, but we're going to try to persevere. Al, you guys, we talked to Brian, and I didn't realize, but he said he, like a lot of other guys, ran out of gas on that at Birmingham and had to go into the pits late in the race. Oh, my.
Yeah, we had a pretty good car and a pretty good run going. He drove himself up to sixth, biding his time, and we changed the fuel cell. We got lucky at New Smyrna. He only had a 15-gallon fuel cell in the car, and we changed it for this race here. And I really believe that we should have probably supervised it a little bit more, and I think maybe the pickup hose or the pickup tube, I don't think it was in the right spot, and it might have cost us a problem there.
Oh, where it didn't actually get all of the gas out of the tank?
Yeah, we'll find more out this week when they bring the car back down to the shop, and that's going to be – I couldn't sleep, actually, Monday over this, and I had a headache over it, and kind of told Brian I kind of take full responsibility for this. Should have probably supervised a little bit more, but I think the tube or the hose that was in the tank was kind of moved around or jockeyed around when they assembled everything, and they didn't get it where it needed to be.
You know, and we were, as Terry and I were remarking with Brian about it, it's actually, he's doing himself pretty good here. I mean, he hasn't been to New Smyrna before. He goes there, has a lot of tribulations actually getting to the track, and gets out there late and qualified good and ran an excellent race at a very tough racetrack against, you know, a lot of guys who had experience there, and then did pretty good up in Birmingham too. So he's he's actually he's hanging in there pretty good.
Yeah, basically what we're doing is just real basic stuff with him. We're not trying to overthink what his capabilities are, and we're just trying to school him like I've done a lot of these kids, and it's working out well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I never didn't ask Brian. How old is Brian?
Hello, Al?
Excuse me for a second. I think you guys are getting some lightning because it's definitely through my phone real heavy here.
Yeah, we're getting that, too. I don't know where it's coming from, but how old is Brian? Brian's, what, 17?
If he is 17.
I don't think he is. I forgot to ask him, but I do not believe he is. I think he's 16.
I think he's 16 if he just didn't turn 16. But, you know, he drove that truck series, that fast truck series, and with an old truck, and he did real well with it. I mean, they didn't change much on the truck, and he went from track to track to track. And, you know, of course, you know his dad's a state trooper.
Right.
And the limited budget for this whole deal here, and they kind of brought me on after they did the Bronson race by themselves and realized it was a bigger road to hold, and it was just a tougher thing to tackle for just two kids and a parent. So they brought me on, and of course, you know, I've raced Montgomery and Birmingham, and I've been to all these tracks with the Southern All-Star Series with Kevin Gillum, and I'm able to bring a little experience with them and give them a little hand.
Yeah, you definitely have been around, Alan. Plus your son, who I ran into again the other night, I hadn't seen him for a while. He's working in the Hooters deal with Coulter, and he's a pretty good racer too. He came in second in that late model race we saw the other night. But you've been around, been experienced. What's your take on the ASA deal now? How do you see this series shaping up?
Well, I think it's really good for the kids that come out of a series like Brian came out with WKA and stuff like that, and which everything is you know, they got to tech the motors, they go through a carburetor tech, everything has to be what it says it's supposed to be. And they were regimented to that. And then they did that with Bobby Deal's series, the Fast Truck series, and now they're into this ASA series, which it's a regimented, the tech is regimented, everything has to be what it says on paper. And they're used to that, and I think it's really good because it kind of puts everybody on the same playing field, and the cars are really, really close. By the times that everybody qualifies, they're really, really close, and you got to be up on the wheel to make the field. And it doesn't really matter if you've been driving for 10 years or if you've just been driving for 2 years. It's how you get to the racetrack and what you make of it that day for practice and get a feel for everything.
Big Al, I got a question for you. On one of the racing shows on Karnak Monday night, there was a question brought up about the speed of the cars. And the question I had was, I'd rather see 28 cars out on the track than 12. And then ASA cars are called dogs on this show. And what's your take on the speed situation now? You've been around the game a long time. You've been involved with all different aspects of racing, really fast cars and slow cars. Once you get on the track, do you think the fan really knows how fast you're going? And isn't it more entertaining to have more cars than less cars? I mean, that's my opinion. I would like to hear yours.
Well, you know, my kid ran in a race in Charlotte County, which I wish they would have had more cars. But when you see two cars, him and Wayne Anderson, basically kind of run away from everybody, and everybody's flat but maybe the third and fourth place car, and then you go to an ASA show, and everybody's 17 are still on a lead lap, it's almost basically what you're seeing with the car of tomorrow with what NASCAR is trying to do, and keeping more cars on the lead lap and trying to let the race play out, and so you don't know who the winner's going to be until the checkered flag falls. And you've seen that at New Smyrna, and if you weren't at the Birmingham race, that was a hell of a race too.
Yeah, I noticed on the Birmingham race, it's 125 laps, and there's 15 drivers on the lead lap out of 25. Now, to me, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing for a short race like that, and then, well, not a short race, but a long race, 125 laps. On that long track, it's a very long track. It plays out to be more than a half, I think.
Well, every one of the Southern Division races so far have been, when you're down to the last 10, 15 laps, there was many people who could have actually won it if certain things were to happen. There's no doubt.
Oh, sure, sure. I would like to see any track half mile and bigger that these ASA cars are going to, because everybody's almost limited with the fuel. They're all trying to run 15, 18-gallon cells with the spring setups that they're trying to run with the bars and everything and the rear percentages. I'd like to see, you know, maybe the first 50 cautions count and then let them race the last 75 have to be under green. And it would probably make it a better show, too. Even though it's kind of exciting to see cars run out of gas and people hustling and trying to get back out on the track and the faster cars trying to pass and stuff again. So it's a good show. I like the series, the tech inspectors, Mr. Varney that's running the show. He seems to be adjusted to all the different motor combinations and stuff, and is pretty much up on tech and how everything should be. And they run a pretty tight ship. It's really, really a good deal for young upcoming drivers. And then the older guys that try to outrun like the, you know, like the little outlaw tracks, they have to get in and get implemented into it and what, how everything runs and stuff.
I think that was a pretty important point you made too about the regimentation deal, because I hadn't really actually looked at it exactly that way, but I think that's a very good point, because, you know, the guy who comes out of, say, racing, you know, in up until the last few years, you know, guys would go into mini stocks or street stocks and things like that, and nowadays they're going, like, from carts to maybe something like trucks or something like that, and some of them are going right from carts to late models. And that regimentation of running in local touring series, like in Florida, for instance, I mean, it's absolutely a better deal for the driver than somebody who goes and learns a lot of bad habits in the street stocks at their local racetrack.
Oh, sure. I agree with that. But I on the other foot here, on the other side of that deal there, is I always believe that a youngster, even though that they start out in the truck or something like that, if they are on a touring series, you know, find somebody that's got a bomber car or a cyclone car, and then go off to learn how to slide that thing around that weighs like 3,500 pounds on a 6-inch tire. That's only going to make you a better driver. I mean, it might give you a bad habit here or there, though, but I'm sure you can break yourself of it. But
that's what,
how to drive anything.
That's what Tommy did. That's what your son Tommy did, didn't he? Down there at Hialeah on that flat track.
Yeah, well, he started at Clewiston before that. He started at Clewiston when he was 9, and we kept telling him he was 13 then. You know, to get him to start and race. And see, my son never raced with kids. He always raced with adults.
Right.
He was 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. He raced with adults his whole life. So he had to learn how to give people respect out on the speedway. And he wants that back when he races against people like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So your next deal with Brian will be off to Orange County. Now, will you do any testing or anything to prepare ahead for that, or you just go and give it your best shot?
No, basically, you know, he's, like I said, he's on a limited budget, and I believe Joe Coulter with Coulter Motorsports is helping him out somewhat, like he did with the truck and everything. And they're, like I said, they're limited. So his time is limited. You know, he's a public safety officer with the state of Florida, so he's busy.
Right.
And, you know, we're just, I guess the word would be is we're winging it. We get to the speedway, we kind of feel what Brian wants and what the car's telling us, and then we make some adjustments, and hopefully we go the right way so we don't have to go backwards the opposite way. And we're going pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
He's getting a better feel for all this.
Well,
he's a good little driver.
Maybe with all the success he's had so far, and I think even 11th place finish after running out of gas is a success to me. And with all the success he's having, maybe somebody out there will notice Brian and being so young and maybe give him a hand.
Well, you know, I have to agree with you there. And I think that he's a personable little kid. His dad's really well. His dad speaks well. His brother's is a cantankerous little fart, but, I mean, we deal with him. Yeah, it's all good. And I'm going to be honest with you. There was only two other cars that ran faster lap times in that race as our ASA, because you've got to realize these ASA cars have transponders on them.
Right.
So what they tell you, that is, it's not God, but it's close to it right there.
Right, exactly.
He's just one of the fastest cars there during the race, or after coming in from the pits and running the lead pack down and almost running 10th at the end of the race there.
Yeah. That Brandon Johnson's pretty strong, huh?
Yeah, you know, and that comes with time and seat time and age. I think Brandon's a little older than Brian.
Right.
Brandon has probably about 6 or 8 months, maybe a year more seat time than Brian in the truck. And then moving back up and started one of these ASA cars when Bobby Deal had that little ASA fast car, whatever, going down
here. Yep, the fast deal, yeah.
So you can see the difference when these kids get more time. They keep amazing at what they can do. And Brandon Johnson's got a good run going right now, and you got to keep it going while you're on top.
Isn't it funny going, like, you go to Birmingham now? They didn't have quite as many cars at Birmingham as some of the other races this year, but you know, isn't it funny you go to like Georgia and Alabama, and there's all these Florida kids. It's amazing.
Well, you know, I always told my son when I was a kid and watching the Allisons race and everything like that, and then, you know, working with Tommy Model and Buddy Griffin and them guys that, you know, were a part of that or working with those and raced against, you know, Red Farmer and those guys. I told my son, I said, it all started down here. It started at that little flat track right where you started at and raced. And when we got a chance to go to Talladega last year and Tommy ran on the little short track at Talladega there, with Red and the rest of those guys. I mean, he had a good time running a street stock up there for two nights. And he got back in their backyard again. You know what I'm saying?
So sure.
It comes around. It's where it started, and it goes back somewhere else. But it's all good. Yeah, and the Florida kids, you know, I was lucky when I grew up down here. We raced Hialeah on Saturday. Or actually, we raced Palm Beach on Friday night, Hialeah on Saturday, and Hollywood on Sunday. And it kept me out of trouble. We raced three nights a week for years down here.
And I'll tell you, you guys must really miss that place, because I'll tell you, you know, I was there only three times. I had only had the opportunity to get down there three times. And I was there on the night that it closed. And, you know, that was still, I don't think I'll ever go to a racetrack and have a bigger thrill or have a better memory than that night. I have the one of the T-shirts is framed behind glass in my family room. It's one of my prized possessions. Hialeah Speedway was quite the place.
Well, it's a lot of tradition there. And, you know, there was a lot of wet eyes that night. I'm here to tell you, there was a lot.
Oh, I feel it just telling you about it. I could feel that all over again.
Yeah, there was a lot of people, like, saying their last goodbyes to a lot of people, like family, you know. And family says, well, you know, this is probably the last time I'll ever see you. And boy, that wasn't no bigger than a truer statement was ever said. And there, like I said, there was a lot of wet eyes that night. A lot of people hanging their head after that deal.
Hey, Terry.
Big Al, we've kind of run along here. We got a couple more interviews to go. It was really nice talking to you again. And we probably will be talking to you again in the future, I'm sure, with Brian's success. And you still want to advertise on CarNet?
Yeah, I think when you guys started all that, we got on board with you people, and
absolutely,
I had bumper stickers on every car from Glades County to Henry County down to Palm Beach County.
It's even better now, Big Al. I'll give you a call. I promise I will.
It's been a while, Al. This is our 10th year, man. It's good talking with you, and we'll talk to you soon. See you up at Orange County.
We'll see you guys there. You guys do a hell of a job, and I really appreciate it. And maybe we can get another top 10 out of this or something, and we'll go from there.
There you go, man. See ya.
Big Al, I hope you're feeling better.
All right.
Thank you, guys, and you guys have a good day and a good weekend.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, the ASA Fast Lane. Terry, let's take a quick break, and I guess we're going to come back with Chuck Gonzalez.
All right.
The ASA photographer. Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
CarNight.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNight.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Karnak.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Karnak gets it done.
All right, Terry, we're back here at ASA Fastlane. I'll tell you, you know, we were talking earlier about the there's two different people that we feel that really have a different perspective at a racetrack on race day, and one is the flagman who sits high atop the whole action and with a tremendous amount of responsibility, and the other person who gets overlooked a lot is the photographer, whether it's a racetrack photographer or a series photographer, has a completely unique look at what's going on. Don't you agree?
Oh, I agree. And they put themselves into some precarious situations sometimes, too. I seen a picture in Open Wheel magazine one time right before a sprint car hit this photographer. He took a picture.
There you go.
And he won an award with it.
There you go. And we have one of those. We have one of those people with us right now. We're lucky tonight. We have Chuck Gonzalez, who's the ASA late model series photographer. Welcome to the ASA Fastlane, Chuck.
Hi, how you guys all doing?
We're good. We're good down here in Florida. I'm in Florida. Terry's in Kentucky, and you're in Illinois, I assume.
Right, right. Getting some rain right now.
Yeah, well, us too. And we get these big lightning bolts down here in our neck of the woods this time of the year with that rain, and it sometimes plays havoc with our electronics. But
and in Kentucky, it's dry as a bone and sunshine.
There you go.
Let's go racing.
So Chuck, tell us, is this a fun adventure every week? You get to go to an ASA race or what?
Oh, it sure is. It's it's a dream come true for me. I love photography and I love racing, and I do both and get paid doing it.
How? What else can you ask for?
Yeah, I can't ask for too much more than that.
So now you've been doing this since the 90s, I believe you said?
Right, right, early 90s.
Yeah. How did you get involved in racing and photography in the first place?
Well, photography started in high school back in the late 70s, and racing was probably around 1988, and I used to sit up in the stands and watch the races, and used to bring my own little camera and take pictures from the bleachers up there, and someday I said, I'm going to be like that guy down there, getting close up to the action.
What tracks was that at?
I started out Rockford Speedway.
Wow.
No way. Not yeah. Rockford.
Yeah.
I used to go up there and
I've been to Rockford many times for the National Short Track Championship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I
remember. 1977 with Mark Martin?
Oh, wow.
Were you there then?
No, I didn't get a chance to do that one.
Yeah, you are a little...
So you were able to get out of the stands and get down there. How did it evolve, Chuck?
I met a gentleman named by Bob Applegate, which was the late model digest publisher and editor.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I talked with him, and I told him what I was interested in doing, and I sent him some of my work from the bleachers, and sometimes I got a chance to sneak in the infield and act like I was a photographer out there and belonged, and he seen some of my work and said, let's go for it. And he started giving me credentials and started shooting for the newspapers.
That's cool. You know, one of my good buddies down here in Florida does work for Late Model Digest, Buddy Bryant. And, we see Buddy a lot around the southern states. And that's a great organization. That's a good place to have gotten started.
Oh, yes. Yes. Definitely a top-notch newspaper and still is.
Yeah. So now you're out there taking pictures for the ASA. And so how do you approach it? Like, what's your approach on race day?
Well, on race day, I really start out with ASA gives me a photo assignment, so I have something to look off of right away, and who the new guys are, and the rookies, and what we're trying to limelight on, so to speak, or spotlight. And I go from there, and then I go in with a wide open mind with big eyeballs and see what I can grab while I'm there.
Well, there you go. Hey, Terry, that's another example of how. And it just amazes me how detail-oriented Ron and Sandy Varney are. And, I mean, it sounds like I'm blowing smoke, but I swear, it's just I've been around this a long time. And, you know, Terry, I could be pretty critical about things, not in a bad way, but you know, we like to see improvements in things. And those guys, they give you photo assignments.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Who has time to do that, anyway?
Sandy Varney puts that together for me.
I have a question. I want to get into the dangerous side of what you do, Chuck. Now, I've seen photographers at New Smyrna on the top of the wall. I've seen them on the other side of the wall sneaking shots. And what is the worst position have you ever put yourself in to get that one shot that you wanted?
Most of my danger zone stuff would probably be on the outside stuff, sticking my head through the fence or leaning over a wall trying to get front car shots coming at me.
Mm-hmm.
I get full of oil and dirt, and I try not to think about the danger part of it. I just want to capture that image of showing motion, showing speed, showing the aggression out there is just unreal in motorsports.
You get those eyeball shots of the driver?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you can see the hands moving on the wheel, and oh, yeah.
Have you done any other tracks besides Rockford leading up to the ASA?
Oh, yes, yes. I used to be a track photographer for LaSalle Speedway and Kankakee Speedway, two dirt tracks.
Oh, yeah. I've been to both of them.
Yeah, worked for the Izzos.
Yep, Tony Izzo?
Yes. Huh. Started doing a lot of dirt stuff. Started doing a lot of stuff for Dirt Late Model magazine. Got a chance to do a lot of sprint stuff. I love racing, so I go out there and capture anything I possibly can that moves quick.
Yeah. Now, okay. So you love racing. Now, how do you see the ASA? And put that in perspective. Like, how do you see this ASA late model series shaping up in the perspective of motorsports and short track racing?
I see a bright future for a lot of young people that want to get involved in racing, that has smaller budgets. And even if they had money coming out of their ears, they still are locked in to do so much of the race cars. I mean, they can only do so much of their cars, and basically it comes out to be talent.
Exactly. I agree, Chuck. Talent to set the car up and talent to drive it.
Right. And what the Varneys are doing right now is fantastic. I look at it as almost like a college or a AAA baseball team. Or,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, we're teaching them how to present themselves out there in a professional manner. Make sure that their patches are on their uniforms with their sponsors, and trying to get them to talk in front of the cameras. And I just see a bright future for a lot of young folks out there that want to become race car drivers.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective, and I couldn't agree more.
I really believe in the ASA. Fact is, of the cost factor. I mean, they can now buy three or four motors for what it costs them to buy one motor. It may last them 3 months.
Right.
And then we brought it up with Big Al Stiers about the fact of having more cars on the track than less, and the speed. Do you notice in your photography work, Chuck, when you did a super late model show compared to the ASA, do you notice the speed at all as you're taking your shot?
At times, at certain tracks, probably. It seems like the super late models can get a stronger bite off the corners or the more, what words I'm looking for here.
More speed.
More speed, yeah, exactly.
Well, they do get a stronger bite off the corner, right? No doubt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And things happen a lot faster.
Yeah, just they happen faster.
That's right.
What? Go ahead, Jerry.
I was going to just say, but the fan in the stand, I don't think they care. As long as there's competition on the track, I don't think they notice the speed as much.
Right. I agree with you.
Yeah.
And the competition has been fantastic this year. We've had several different winners. I just see these guys working on their cars all day long and just try to get that extra tenth of a second. And our field has been really tight in the North South End Challenge.
Now, you do all three series?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Wow. Non-stop.
That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
Now, when did you when did you make the move to digital photography?
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. The demand as far as the magazines wanted their stuff in digital format.
Yeah.
And I had to make the move. Not only that, these papers and the internet, of course, wanted stuff yesterday.
That's right. That's right.
And here we are in a digital era, which I think is good.
Yeah, you had to step up a little, huh?
Yeah, step up a little bit. I think it's digital has made everybody a Joel photographer out there now, but you still have the pros out there still looking for the different angles, and you have to have an eye for it.
Right.
And if you don't have that eye, then...
Yeah.
You're going to be at Orange County for sure, correct?
Yes.
I'm going to try and make that race. Yeah. I don't know if Jack's going to make it or not.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're definitely going to be there. Now, when you when you made the switch, did you go to Nikon or Canon?
Canon.
Yeah.
I've been with Canon since high school.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't a preference. It was just something I started with, and I just hung with it.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get Canon to sponsor you and send you some free stuff.
Oh, that'd be nice. I've been working on it, and my answer has been no.
Yeah.
Well, we're professionals.
Well, there, yeah. Not just with the ASA, but in your career as a motorsports photographer, what are some of the more interesting shots you've had or things that you've seen on a racetrack?
Interesting shots.
Yeah, like, for instance, you know, we were going to a racetrack. I'll give you an example. We were going, me and a buddy of mine who's a photographer, he's a track photographer, been mm-hmm. several tracks here in Florida. We were going to a racetrack. We were about a mile from the track, and we're going on this two-lane road to the track entrance. And on the side of the road, we saw a cow out on the side of the road, outside of the fence that he was supposed to be behind, and we saw about 6 or 8 police cars. Okay, now here's sheriff's deputies from a county that I'll leave unnamed in Florida. I've embarrassed them enough in the past. But anyway, we're pulling up there, and I'm driving, and I'm yelling at Bill in the back seat. I had a car full of people. Bill, get your camera ready. Get your camera ready. And as we go by, he missed the shot, and it was too much because here's a cop with his door open, leaning over, hiding behind the door with a can of mace shooting at this cow. You know, and I bust his chops all the time, Bill. That was the best shot Bill never took. You know what I mean?
Bill would have made a lot of money on that.
Yeah.
That was one of those Life magazine shots or
exactly.
something. You know, so like, I know you've got a shot there that you wished you'd have got that you didn't take
on the way of the racetrack or something, huh? Jeez.
Well, you were telling me yesterday, I think you were telling me about a pretty interesting thing with Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Right. It's over at IRP. Now it's called ORP. Yeah, I had credentials for that weekend, and then Dale Earnhardt was a hot commodity at the time. He still is today, but he was running for rookie of the year for Busch.
Talking about Junior.
Yes, Junior, yes. Okay. Sorry, yeah, Junior. And... I had walked over, and he had a bunch of media people around him. Of course, they have their agents and managers, and they have their whole entourage, and you got to get permission to get a picture of the celebrity or the driver. And I had walked over there, and I had asked Dale if I could get a picture of him by his race car. And he had looked at me kind of strange, and I thought, well, I said the wrong words to him. And everybody kind of looked at me a little strange, and I said, and he didn't say nothing at first. And I said, well, what do you think? And he says, in a moment when I get some time here. And I waited, and I stood there and waited like a little kid, but I still needed that shot that I wanted to get him. And I kind of waited. It must have been 15 minutes, and I got tired of waiting, so I had walked away. And I'd probably, you know, 2 or 3 cars down the pit road there. And here comes this person, tapped me on the shoulder, and it was Dale Earnhardt Jr. And he says, are you ready for that photo shoot? And I said, sure. And he goes, what do you want me to do? I said, walk back over to his race car. And I had him posed by his race car, and I... let me take a couple of pictures of him. And here come the media, come running over there, and he gets some pictures of him. He said, no, 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 that was for that gentleman right there. And he seemed like he acted like he knew me, and I never had a chance to meet the gentleman. And
wow.
And even at Chicagoland, I would do the same thing to him, and he said, sure, sure. even to today, he still does the same thing. I think he knows me. He thinks he knows me.
Well, that's cool.
Well, that's a good.
So you get some special shots of Dale Jr. that maybe the other guys don't get.
Right. Right. Oh,
that's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great story to end our interview. That's fantastic. I've actually talked to Dale Jr. on the phone before, back in the day when I was working for Mike Mittler out of Missouri. He had a truck, and we called Dale Jr. because he was just driving late models in to drive it. And the only stipulation was that his dad, Senior, said no because we had a Ford and they were in the Chevy. Otherwise, Dale Jr. would have been driving for me, I was the PR guy at the time, in our truck.
So amazing.
That's my Dale Earnhardt Jr. story.
Well, Chuck, I really appreciate you taking some time to spend a few minutes here with us on the ASA Fastlane. And now, how do people get in touch with you? You're the guy you are the official photographer for the ASA Late Model Series North South Challenge and every other part of the whole deal. So how do people get in touch with you?
They can go to my website. I have a website. It's www.cgphotos.net.
GG Photos?
CG.
CG, okay. The initials Chuck Gonzalez. There you go. Right. .net.
.net.
Okay.
Cool.
We'll put a link for that on our Real Racing USA website as well for you, Chuck. I really appreciate you spending a few minutes with us here. I know a lot of photographers, we did mention that, we talked to Jim Jones and Brian, Buddy Bryant, and some other photographers on our shows, and they, like yourself the other day, you always go, oh, me? Why me? You know?
That's what I was saying.
You know what, Jack? This interview was way too short, so we're going to have Chuck on the show again. If I can be so bold and say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to talk some more with Chuck because I think what he does is the most interesting part of the race. Because he captures the images of the racing.
Absolutely.
So, Chuck will be calling you again sometime. We may just surprise you.
Okay.
All right. Chuck. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Chuck.
Bye-bye.
All right. There we have it. I told you, Terry. These guys, these photographer guys, are always the coolest guys.
Yep.
They enjoy it, and they have a lot of fun.
Yep.
And they always have a positive attitude. Most of the time, I rarely see a photographer with a bad attitude. They always have a positive attitude because they're having fun doing what they're doing.
And the only time they get a bad attitude is when they get thrown out of where they're at.
And that does happen. But I tell you what, we're going to go to a break right now. We're going to take our last commercial break here. We got to mention now, next week, the format will change slightly because next week we will be officially the O'Reilly Fast ASA Fastlane show. So
exactly, O'Reilly come on board, and that's official. And you have a really neat logo for it.
We'll have the audio logo portion put together next week. So that'll be cool. And
Eli Gardner, the head of the advertising for O'Reilly, spends millions and millions of dollars a year. He actually really liked your logo.
Well, that was very cool. And I'll tell you what, we're going to take also. Next week we'll have the commercial spots running for, is it Port City Racing? Is that
Port
the one?
Port City Racing next week. And don't forget, we have one more person to interview today.
Well, I understand that. We're getting ready to go to break, so that's why I want to mention all these guys right now.
You're getting old. I didn't know if you forgot or not.
That people are always saying that to me. I'm getting old. I'm getting old, so.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power Batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power Batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power Batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. That was a great interview there with Chuck Gonzalez, the ASA official photographer.
And now, I am so proud to announce that we have Mike Abney on the line. He's in sales and marketing for PowerMaster, and PowerMaster has recently become a sponsor of the ASA Fastlane. Welcome, Mike.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome to the ASA Fastlane, Mike.
All right. Now, we basically have the ads up on Karnak, too, and which look awesome. I already told you about that. But now, Mike, PowerMaster has also decided to sponsor the ASA Fastlane. And the reason they decided is because they have several drivers running their stuff in the ASA. Basically, what we want to talk to you about is what you have available and for the ASA drivers and what you have available in general.
Well, we appreciate that. We do have some great products for the ASA cars. We primarily are a company that manufactures high-performance starters, alternators, and batteries. The alternators are very popular for stock cars. We make alternator kits that are very small, yet that have very high output. We work really hard on durability and things like that. And, the ASA guys just eat that kind of stuff up.
Now, when you say very small, that means lighter. And in the stock car business, lighter is better. But you don't lose any performance from it being lighter.
You know, what we found is if you can make it small, light, and most importantly, durable. It has to perform fantastic, but the option of failure is one that we just can't live with in the circle track world. So we go to great lengths, use really high-end components, and we engineer a lot of specific components which eliminate failure. And on our end, we think that's absolutely one of the most important thing in an alternator.
What's the deal with the excess power battery?
Well, you know what? That's a new battery line that we came out with this year. The excess power batteries are all AGM batteries. And AGM, if you're not familiar with them, AGM stands for absorbed glass mat. And it's a relatively new technology in the automotive world. It was adapted from military technology. And basically what it means is instead of having liquid acid floating around inside the battery, you have a fiberglass woven material that absorbs a very small amount of acid. It gives you a couple of benefits, especially in a race car. The benefits are, number one, they have a lot more power output for the size of the battery. And that makes it really good because if a guy gets out and his alternator fails with an excess power battery, he can go longer before the ignition starts running bad and things of that nature. There's some other benefits of the excess power batteries, too, namely is the safety aspect. And I know you guys talk a lot about safety, and I think this is real applicable to your show. Since the excess power battery doesn't have that liquid acid inside of it, you can actually turn the battery upside down. You could drill a hole in the battery, and nothing would leak out.
Karnak.com, your online racing community.
Whoa.
Sorry about that.
You know, that's okay. If a guy gets in a wreck, let's say, and the battery cracks, well, with a conventional battery, that's pretty dangerous because you've got acid that's flowing out of it, and also you've got a lot of vapor that escapes there, and that's flammable. So with a PowerMaster excess power battery, you can crack the case if you're in a wreck or something, and nothing's going to leak out. So it's a lot safer.
Yeah, it was funny because, you know, when we were preparing the commercial spots, that was the one thing that kept sticking in my head as kind of a little mystery. There was the line about it doesn't spill. I couldn't quite grasp that. Now you've explained that. That sounds like something you'd want in a passenger car as well.
I know that I run one in my passenger car. A lot of people that have drag cars, they like to run the excess power batteries in the back because you can actually put them in the interior and they don't gas.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about having fumes and stuff.
Well, I have one of those cars. I have two of them, as a matter of fact. I have two 1997 Rivieras, and the battery is under the back seat inside the vehicle for some inexplicable reason, but that's where they put them. And we actually had one of the batteries go bad, and we had this smell going on in the car, and it became a little frightening after a while until we figured out what it was. So this kind of battery would actually make a lot of sense.
Are you producing the batteries, Mike, for your own cars, or basically are they designed for race cars?
Well, we design the batteries where they're powerful enough and durable enough to work in racing applications. And if they're powerful enough to work in a racing application, then they normally work really well with three.
Okay.
One of the benefits of the excess power battery is the life is extended. Because we use a really pure lead in order to get really good power and things like that, well, the side effect of using really pure lead is you get really long life. So it's got a lot of benefits for street cars as well.
Yeah, so the ASA drivers definitely could benefit from your alternators or your batteries and your other types of equipment.
Well, sure, and we haven't even talked about starters yet.
There you go. Let's talk about starters.
Starters, PowerMaster makes multiple lines of starters. And we make one of our lines is works very well in ASA type cars. We kind of go back to the same process or the thought process is it's got to perform, but it's more important that it never fails. So when we engineer a starter, we really overkill everything. We use really big windings and all the little tricks that we can to make sure that thing is going to run perfect, and it's not going to give you problems when you get out of the racetrack.
You know, now you deal with short track stock car racing type deals and of course NASCAR type cars, I'm sure. But you know, the first time I ever heard of your company was early this year. I'd never heard of your company until early this year, and I was at a pretty big IHRA event up in North Carolina at Rockingham. And I saw your signs all over the place. I was down there taking pictures off the starting line, and I saw your signs all over the place, PowerMaster, and just next thing I know, Terry's talking to you. I was like, pretty amazing.
Yeah, we really like the IHRA series. We've worked with drag racers for a long time, and you know, our building is filled full of a bunch of performance nuts. We've got a couple guys that have their 9-second Mustangs and Corvettes and whatnot, and we all like to get out and kind of race around. And because of that, it kind of makes us really pour our heart into making good performance type parts. And I think that really shows in all the things that we do, from the marketing to the products that we actually build and the service that we give.
Go ahead, Terry.
So you can have a starter, alternator, battery for your Mustang if you want to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Of course, I run PowerMaster products in my Mustang. I've got a Mustang, and then I've got a 69 Camaro, and you can bet that they have PowerMaster stuff all over them.
So Mike, what is the distribution now? Where if somebody wants a PowerMaster excess battery or a starter, where do they go?
Well, you know, we're mostly talking about circle track type stuff. So we do a lot of work with CV products, and we work with BSR, and they're, you know, I don't have time to go down the whole list of our dealers.
You're widely available.
If somebody was looking for our product, they could go to our website, which is powermastermotorsports.com, and they can click on the dealer locator link and type in their zip code, and they can pull up the nearest circle track dealer in their area.
Don't get any easier than that.
Nope.
Is it?
Make it easy.
Is it the internet wonderful?
Glad you came on, and I'm sure we're going to be talking to you way more. Hopefully, I can meet you at some of the races that we're going to be going to. And I know you don't make computers, do you?
I don't.
That's an inside joke, Jack.
Okay.
Mike's been without a computer for 4 days.
Oh, yeah.
And he can't function.
If we make computers as good as we make performance parts, we'd be perfect.
Gotcha.
All right, Mike. It's sure a pleasure to have you on the ASA Fast Lane. Like I said, we'll meet you down the road. And I told Stacy I was going to come to Knoxville and go on a tour. So.
Well, that sounds great. I appreciate you guys letting us talk to you a little bit.
All right, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye.
All right, man. Power Master. Right. Absolutely. Power Master. Got to remember
Master.
That. I like the way that sounds, you know, Power Master.
Power Master.
That's pretty cool. So we have tonight on the ASA Fast Lane, we've talked to young Brian Bloom, who we still haven't quite figured out how old he is, but I'm sure he's no more than 16 because I remember taking his picture not too long ago.
Remember that.
Yeah, and his crew chief, Big Al Steyer from down in very, very South Florida. Hialeah area. Unbelievable that place is gone. And we talked to Chuck Gonzalez and Brian Bloom. Did a little bit there with Bo Slocum, who won the big event out there at Birmingham. And next week, man, who knows who we're likely to get on. I think we're going to talk to some of those northern drivers, Terry, some of those veterans and some of those young stars from up north, too.
I would like to get Eddie Hoffman on our show next week if we can manage that.
Yeah, well, those are some of the things we're working on, and
yep.
For all the news about the ASA late model series, go to www.asalatemodel.com. asalatemodels.com.
All right, or
you can just go to Real Racing USA and click on one of the links, takes you right to their site.
Okay,
pretty cool. Good talking
right,
with the.
Until next week.
Yeah, well, this was.
Have a great week, and I'll be talking to you soon.
Yeah, this was fun, and we'll talk to you next week, Terry.
All right.
Play the music, Jack.